Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Good morning. Should probably pray before I do anything else. Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for a beautiful day. Thank you for the ability to come together and fellowship and worship you and just have a good time. I pray that you would bless the members that are not in attendance with us today, but keep them safe and healthy and well. And I pray that you would bless the rest of this day and this week. I pray that you would help me to breathe while I'm talking. Help me to say what I feel led to say, and that it will make sense. In Jesus' name, amen. If I had to title it today, I would say it is called Jesus Take the Wheel. There was that phrase kind of became popular, if you will, like late 05. Early 2006, there was a contemporary pop slash country-ish artist who made a song called Jesus Take the Wheel. And in the song, she talks about, or as she's singing the song, the basic of the song is a woman, she's driving home on Christmas Eve, snowy, icy, she's got her little baby in the back seat, hits some black ice, skids, and she's, in her mind, she's about to crash the car and die, right? So she, in the song, she lets go and out loud says, "Jesus, take the wheel." And ends up kind of in a bank, no damage. Everybody's fine. Looks back, baby's still sleeping, doesn't even know anything's going on. So she breaks down and starts praying. Like this was just metaphoric. "Jesus, you need to take the wheel of my life because things aren't going the way I want, or I'm not living the way I'm supposed to be living," whatever the case was. And that saying then became very popularized, culturized, to where anytime someone was aggravated, annoyed, whether it be playful or not, someone just getting on their nerves, and they would just be like, "Jesus, take the wheel." So as to not, right? When your car is skidding out of control, you're supposed to, or hydroplaning, you're supposed to turn into the skid. So whichever way the back end of the car is going, which doesn't in your mind make sense, that's the way you're supposed to turn, right? One time I was, this was post college, pre-marriage. So I was still in that I'm an idiot 21, 22-year-old stage. I was leaving my parents' house, had my brother with me, and at the time I had a manual transmission car. And anybody who's ever been to my parents' house knows, or my dad's house knows, where you come out of Rogers Lane, you have to cross over Highway 64, right where that gas, the Sheetz gas station is. Two lanes this way, median, two lanes that way. I need to go that way. So I have to cross all four lanes. And I get there, and electricity had blinked, something had happened. So we just got flashing reds for us, right? Flashing yellows for Highway 64, flashing reds for us. And it is Highway 64. And I don't remember what time of day it was, but it's Highway 64. So I'm gonna be here a while. And I, as previously stated, 21, 22, stupid, young, invincible, all those things. Watched a lot of movies where they race cars and stuff. So, and I had a manual transmission. So all of these ingredients lead you to this story, right? Brother with me in the car. And oh, one more thing, it had rained the day before. So, push the clutch to the floor, push the gas to the floor, and then as soon as I see enough of an opening both directions, just let the clutch out. Get across the first two lanes, get across the median, turn the wheel, drop the second, and then the back end goes. And I'm like, I know what to do. Ha-ha. I turn into this, except I have no friction whatsoever. I'm like, why is it not working? Why is it not working? Why is it not working? Then I catch friction, except I've now turned the wheel all the way to the right. So I catch friction and immediately hit 90 degrees that way. And it hit anybody. We're fine. I totaled that car like 3 months later. No. Not in that instance. That's true story. Point being, I jumped the curb, didn't hit anybody, just put it in reverse, went back on my way. Yeah. Played Frogger in real life and survived somehow. Did you not hear the part where I said I was young and stupid? You heard that part? That's the why. Okay. I heard a comedian one time tell a joke. He was reflecting on a time like 1999, 2000, 2001. He was doing very well for himself at the time, and so he went out and bought himself a Dodge Viper, which, if you know anything about those, are very, very powerful cars. You don't see a lot of them because people realize they are too powerful and probably shouldn't be on the roads. But like I said, 99, 2000, 2001, and he, like me, was an idiot. So he realizes that this car is way too powerful. I probably need to take some lessons. So he lives out in California. He goes to one of those racetrack training courses, I guess similar to what Peter did a couple years ago, except instead of renting a car, he brought his own. So he's driving around the course with the, and it's just an oval, just like a racetrack. He's driving around, got the instructor. The instructor's talking to him about, exit velocities and the way the course works and how to handle the car. And the whole time, as he's telling the story and telling it, making it funny, he's telling the whole story. He's just like, I don't care about any of that. I just want to drive my race car. I just want to ride. And so they go around a few times, and he says, the instructor gives him the permission to go. So he drops the hammer and takes off, and around the very first curve, exits the track onto the dirt field outside. And blah, 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 all this stuff flipping around, axles twisting over itself. He just destroys the car. But he says, in the moment, what I did was what most guys do, and I just let go. Like, no instruction from the instructor. The instructor's just the whole time, and he's not getting any instruction. He just let go. So he didn't verbally say, Jesus, take the wheel, but he just like, hey, and he just let go. Adult of any species, usually a lot smarter than children, specifically humans. A lot of species are born with this innate nature about them. They kind of know, what's the word I'm looking for here?
Instinct.
Instinct, thank you, of things that they're just supposed to do, right? Within three, depending on the species, 3 to 10 weeks, birds are kicked out of the nest and forced to figure it out. Meanwhile, similarly, four-legged mammals, deer, they learn to walk within a couple minutes, right? Humans need an adult around for the first 5 or 6 years of their lives so they don't die. But children also have no life experience, and therefore they also have no fear. Find something on the ground, I can pick it up, I must be able to eat it. Or stick it in a small hole like a light socket. It's got to be what it's for because they don't have anything to tell them otherwise. Crawling around at the top of the stairs, they don't realize that when there are no more stairs, they should probably stop. However, usually it only takes one tumble down the stairs for them to learn that gravity exists and stairs are hard. Unless you're, and then you get to be an adult and you fall up the stairs instead of down. I got a friend who has a young son, and we were talking a couple years ago. At the time, the little kid would have been maybe 2, maybe. And he was like, oh yeah, he's learning how to ride a bike already. And I'm just like, my kids are like 8. They learned how to ride bikes, And he's like, well, it's not the one with the pedals. It's the little glidey ones that you kind of Fred Flintstone your way and just glide. And he's like, yeah, cement, grass, gravel, rocks, all that. And I'm like, gravel? Because in my mind, adult life experience, pain, scars, call it what you want, that hurts. Kid, don't even think about it. Just go. Right? But I know what could happen. Kids don't know what could happen. They just know to go. We stop doing things out of fear of what could happen. We might take less chances because of what could happen. Do I, to talk more about cars, do I go really fast around this slowpoke, around this blind curve, not knowing what's on the other side just because I'm annoyed and I want to go faster? Maybe at 21, I would have. Not so much now. Do I don't know, start this new business? Do I change jobs? Do I, but what could happen? Do I try to start and do my own thing? But what if it fails? What if it doesn't work? I got mouths to feed. Do I go bungee jumping? I don't know. What if the cord snaps? Like, we just, kids don't think that way. Adults do. I was recently in, a couple months ago, a situation where I was in the company of a young man and I was going to be in his company for about 20 minutes or so. And I had no way out. I was stuck. I knew for the next 20 minutes, you and I are having this conversation, whether I want to or not. And he starts talking to me, and I mean, nice guy, real chatty, but he's just going on and on and on. And I find out through conversation that he tells me he's a tattoo artist. Cool. A tattoo artist. He does tattoos. And then he also goes, and this, I quote, "I also do sales." And it took me about 5 seconds to realize what he was talking about when he said sales. It was things that may or may not be frowned upon, may or may not be legal in the state, may or may not be things that you roll and have a lighter for. Everybody, we good? We got it? Okay. So he tells me that, oh yeah, I'm getting ready to, headed to Vegas pretty soon. There's a tattoo convention. And I say something along the lines of like, oh, that's, never been. It's like a bucket list thing. Always wanted to, visit, but that's like, one, it's not cheap, obviously, right? But it's also like, is it the best place for me to be? But it's like one of those bucket list things, like just to say, hey, I went, And he's like, oh, you never been? I was like, no, I don't travel much. It's not the cheapest thing to do. I got, two young kids. They're kind of my priority. I'm not really looking to travel the world, so to speak. And he gets mad. Like he gets upset at me and he goes, I hear stories like this all the time from guys, man, and it just really frustrates me. And I'm like, oh, huh? He's like, let me guess. You did things the right way. You got a nice office job, don't you? Yeah. Make decent money. I'm like, I'm alive. Like I do well enough. He's like, you gotta live life, man. You gotta take chances. You gotta go for it. You gotta, you're not gonna experience all these wonderful things if you just do things the right way. My mind went two places in that moment. One, first of all, who said I wasn't happy? Secondly, just because I don't do things the way you do things, that doesn't make my life any worse than yours. And my second thought was, are you trying to convince me to be a drug dealer right now?
Right.
And I think he was. I really think he was. Well, easy answer to that one. I know what could happen. Life experience, right? The negative potential outcomes of that lifestyle or those choices do not outweigh the positives of said lifestyle. Like I'm okay. I don't need to go to Vegas that bad, Then throughout this conversation, he then continues to go on. He's like, oh yeah, so I've been to jail before. I've been shot a couple of times. I'm like, dude, you need to work on your sales pitch because you're not convincing me at all. Going to Vegas and having bullet wound scars, I'm good. It's okay. I'm all We're going to blitz through a bunch of verses now. Psalm 3, let's see, 1 through 8. O Lord, how my enemies have increased. Many are rising up against me. Many are saying of me, there is no help, no salvation for him in God. But you, O Lord, are a shield for me, my glory and my honor, and the one who lifts my head. With my voice, I was crying to the Lord, and he answered me from his holy mountain. I lay down and slept safely. I awakened, for the Lord sustains me. I will not be intimidated or afraid of the 10,000s who have set themselves against me all around. Arise, O Lord, save me, O my God, for you have struck all my enemies on the cheek. You have shattered the teeth of the wicked. Salvation belongs to the Lord. May your blessings be upon your people. He's crying out to God. David's crying out. There's a lot of guys out here, but you are my shield. You lift my head. And I am so good with giving up control. And just giving it up and letting you handle it, I'm gonna go take a nap. Matthew 11:28, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Isaiah 41:10, fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Sorry. Psalm 94:19. When anxiety overtakes me and worries are many, your comfort lightens my soul. So we're going to blitz a bunch of them. I got a couple more. Psalm 91, 9 through 12. For you made the eternal refuge, the Most High your only home. No evil will come to you. Plagues will be turned away at your door. He will command his heavenly messengers to guard you, to keep you safe in every way. They will hold you up in their hands so that you will not crash or fall or even graze your foot on a stone. Romans 12, 1 through 2, specifically in the Message translation. So here's what I want you to do. God helping you. Take your everyday, ordinary life, your sleeping, eating, going to work, and walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. Embracing what God does for you is the best thing you can do for Him. Don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking. Instead, fix your attention on God. You'll be changed from the inside out. Readily recognize what He wants from you and quickly respond to it. Unlike the culture around you, always dragging you down to its level of immaturity, God brings the best out of you, develops well-formed maturity in you. The New King James Version says, present your bodies a living sacrifice. But this was a little more extrapolated and modernized and, to me, kind of encapsulated a whole lot more. And I really, really enjoyed that. Not just your body, everything that you do. Everything. Give it to Him. Let Him take the wheel. James 4, 7 through 10, also in the Message. So let God work His will in you. Yell aloud, no, to the devil, and watch him make himself scarce. Say a quiet yes to God, and he'll be there in no time. Quit dabbling in sin. Purify your inner life. Quit playing the field. Hit bottom. Cry your eyes out. The fun and games are over. Get serious, really serious. Get down on your knees before the Master. It's the only way you'll get to your feet. We can also talk about the time that Jesus literally took the wheel. Matthew 8:23. Then he got into the boat and his disciples followed him. Suddenly a furious storm came up on the lake so that the waves swept over the boat. But Jesus was sleeping. Just like David. I'm going to go take a nap. I'm good. I think it's fine. The disciples went and woke him saying, Lord, save us. We're going to drown. He replied, you of little faith, why are you so afraid? And he got up, rebuked the winds and the waves, and it was completely calm. Jesus, he wasn't mad at them for waking him, like most of us probably would have been. I was sleeping. Leave me alone. He just had a really long day. He wasn't mad that they woke him. That would be kind of funny, though. If like there was like a Message version for like Mark and Matthew and like all the different perspectives, because it's the same story in four different books. Imagine Jesus coming out like, guys, I was sleeping. Seriously? You have any idea how exhausting it is to heal people all day? Like how much it quite literally takes out of me? That'd be kind of funny. He wasn't mad at them for bringing their fears to him either. Not that they woke him. Not that they were afraid. Because as a father, you can all attest, I want my children to come to me with their fears. I want them to tell me when they're afraid. That's part of being a father, part of being a parent, moms too. That's not why he was upset. He was upset with them for letting their fears control them. Come to him with your fears. Let him take them. Let him take the wheel. I don't know who I told before I started besides my son, but keep it under 25 today. Genesis 6:11-17. Now the earth was corrupt in God's sight and was full of violence. God saw how corrupt the earth had become, for all the people on earth had corrupted their ways. So God said to Noah, I'm going to put an end to all people, for the earth is filled with violence because of them. I am surely going to destroy both them and the earth. So make yourself an ark of cypress wood. Make rooms in it and coat it with pitch inside and out. This is how you are to build it. Ready? The ark is to be 300 cubits long, 50 cubits wide, 30 cubits high. Make a roof, leaving below the roof an opening, 1 cubit high all around. Put a door in the side of the ark. Make lower, middle, upper decks. I'm going to bring floodwaters on the earth to destroy all life under the heavens. Every creature that has breath of life in it, everything on earth will perish. Very specific blueprint. Yes? Did anybody catch what was not in the blueprint? No wheel. No sail. No rudder. Obviously no engine. No control. God just told him he was going to destroy everything and to get in a boat. I have to wonder if at any point he was like, you know, forgive my naivete of timeline. But obviously they had boats back then. They had sails. Truthfully, don't know if they had steering mechanisms figured out back then just yet. But nonetheless, no sails. That they did have. We know that much. At any point, you think he wondered and asked? Question. You know what I mean? He couldn't, after being told everything's going to be destroyed and you're going to be in this entrapment. Go. You know? Couldn't have any control. Couldn't steer away from rocks. Couldn't turn into the wave as opposed to just whatever that movie was with the boat gets flipped over. Like, he has no control of the steering around any of that, right? Couldn't aim for dry land. The ark wasn't designed for navigation, just for floating. Noah's job was to be a passenger, not a captain. I've said many, many times, if I'm up here talking about something, probably the one that needs to be listening to it. Okay? But I really feel that somebody has to hear that. You are trying to put a steering wheel on a boat that God can control if you let him. Let him take the wheel. I'll get better at making more than 5 pages in the future. But
that's great.
Heavenly Father, we thank you again for today. We thank you for what you said, what you told us. We pray that you would just remind us each and every day in this week and in the coming months that we are not supposed to drive the boat. We are supposed to let go of the wheel. Let you take it. We are not the captain. We are to be a passenger. We thank you for being willing. We thank you for loving us enough to let us come to you with our fears. Pray that you would help us to not let them control us. Pray that you would give us the faith and the courage and the trust to let go and let you take control of the wheel. Pray that you will bless everyone as well. Bless this day, bless this week, in Jesus' name, amen.